rubs against me. I gasp with pleasure and sink my hands into his hair. We aren't always promised a tomorrow. The only guarantee we have is right now, and I'm not wasting another second. I want you, Killian. I want to show my husband the depths of my love for him. Not just tell him. I trust him with my future, so I'm going to trust him with my body. He cups my jaw, traces his thumbs over my cheeks. His pupils are blown, and his body is trembling as forcefully as mine. Are you sure, lass? Very. Kiss me. I lift to my tiptoes. He meets me halfway, his lips pressing into mine. At first, the kiss is as sweet as the air around us, gentle and wet, so wet as the water continues to rain, an exploratory indulgence as we relearn and savor each other. But it isn't long before sweet isn't enough. Our bodies are burning so hot the water droplets are steaming off our skin. He is my first and last love, and he will be my first time. What could be more perfect? His hands wander over different parts of me, driving my need higher, until I'm aching, overcome, desperate. Between panting breaths, I ask, "Can a spirit who has experienced second death impregnate another spirit who has experienced second death?" As a human, I didn't have to worry. Not because I wasn't having sex, but because birth control is given to all menstruating females in the name of population control. To have a child, a couple must petition for the right. "I highly doubt conception is possible here," he says, and I agree. "But if it does matter, we're good. I receive yearly shots in Myriad to stop my little swimmers. I've got 3 months to go." He rubs the tip of his nose against mine. "Shall we continue?" I nod. "Please d-" He dives down, claiming my mouth before I can finish my command, sweeping me up in a brutal storm of unquenchable desire. Will I ever get enough of him? He devours my mouth, giving and taking, sweeping me up in a riotous storm. Right now, we are the only two people in existence. Time ceases to matter. There is only here and now. Blood rushes through my veins, a newly awakened river without a dam in sight. My heart races, and my limbs tremble with passion rather than weakness. I tingle and ache and burn and tingle and ache and burn and, oh, I can't get enough of this boy. We're dead, again, but I've never felt more alive. He picks me up as if I weigh nothing and gently places me on a dry rock. He removes my bra and panties before settling on top of me, skin to heated skin, hardness against softness, consuming need to consuming need. The kiss deepens as his hands travel over me, kneading me, caressing me, driving me utterly insane. My tremors return and intensify. My blood turns to fuel, stoking my need higher and higher. New mules leave me, followed by moans, groans, and pleas. And he's just getting started. Anywhere his hands travel, his mouth soon follows. He touches and tastes every inch of me, this husband of mine. And I'm lost, so lost, set adrift, and I have no desire to be found. He is my treasure, and in his arms, I have everything I've ever needed. Love, joy, peace, and hope. The foundation I will forever stand upon. The things for which I fight the good fight. "I want this to be good for you, lass, okay? All right? So you must tell me if ever you want me to stop. I will stop no matter how far gone we are. No questions asked. There'll be no pushing you for more, okay?" I nod, because I'm past the point of speech. But that's okay, too, because he lifts his head to peer at me with radiant adoration, and I'm certain every bit of it is reflected back to him through my eyes. In that moment, I am so glad I waited, so glad he is my first. But had there been 1,000 before him, the memory of them would have been burned away in the fire of our love. When he claims me as his own, there is pain, but it's slight, and soon fades. I cling to him, my nails in his back, and lift my hips to encourage him. As he moves within me, kissing me, loving me, still giving and taking, I'm overwhelmed by the knowledge that we are one. One heart, one mind, one body. afterward. As I cuddle against him, my cheek resting against his racing heartbeat, I can't help but look ahead to our future. After we save the spirits here, we can work with Aaron to save the people of Myriad from Ambrosine. If Archer and the others haven't already done so, that is. We can live in Troika as planned, without Killian having to go to court in order to defect, or even travel between both realms, but... After his treatment in Troika, that may not be something he's willing to do. I'll understand. I won't like it, but I'll understand. You stiffened, he says. Tell me why. Just thinking about what will happen after we rescue the damned. You know, where we'll live. We'll live in Troika, and visit Myriad if we so desire. And if the realm still exists, of course. Really? You'd be willing to pack up and move to Troika even though you were treated so horribly? You were treated horribly in Myriad, lass. The difference is, my people tortured you, and planned to do worse. Your people only locked me away. This is true. To be fair, my people might have tortured you if we hadn't been bonded. Don't care. I'm choosing light. I'm pulling a Tenley Lockwood and forgiving those who have wronged me. How much do I love this boy? Thank you. Even before my memory returned, I'd begun to like the light. I kiss his collarbone. I'm sure the light liked you too. How could it not? He snorts. The last time I had to choose a realm, I picked based on hatred. Hatred for Archer and his rejection of me. Hatred for the people of Myriad. Determined to prove to everyone I deserved a family. This time, I pick for love. For you. As I luxuriate in the beauty of his words, a new bond clicks into place. A stronger bond. I can feel his love for me. More luminous than ever before. Every shadow gone. The grid, I say, and gasp. It's so much brighter now. For me too. Love has won. No matter what else happens, love has won. Killian, I say, grinning ear to ear. He leans toward me, as if drawn to me only to go still. We both go still. He frowns. Did you hear that? He whispers. In the distance, a twig snaps. For the second time, I scramble for my clothes. Zero. We left every garment on the other side of the waterfall. Another twig snaps. The murmur of voices arises. Incoming. But will we find friend or foe?
Troika. From m_v_3/54.5.8. 2. l_r_3/51.3.15. j_a_3/19.37.30. s_c_3/50.4.13. c_m_3/5.20.1. t_b_3/19.30.2. b_s_3/51.3.13. a_s_3/42.6.31. j_b_3/19.23.4. s_j_3/62.5.5. m_p_3/45.10.9. Subject. R.I.P. Tenley Lockwood. I just received word. Tenley Lockwood has been slain inside Myriad, and she has not entered into the rest. Because of her connection to Killian Flynn, she entered many ends. Before his disappearance, Alejandro posed the question, what if she's right, and we're wrong? I believe he was on the correct track. The girl needs our help. Let's offer our help. Light brings sight, General Mikhail Vasilyev. Troika. from s_c_3/50.4.13. 2. m_v_3/54.5.8. Subject. Worse is on the way. Forget Miss Lockwood. Penumbra is still spreading in the land of the harvest and Troika. Abrogates are loose. There's no way we can cleanse them all, even with our ever-increasing number of conduits. Also, Miss Lockwood's guardian hunted me down. After biting me for daring to hurt the best human born in, like, ever, he demanded an audience with you, Mikhail. Well, an audience with whoever thinks Miss Lockwood is right about everything always. I suggest you take the meeting. He claims we're all going to die if we fail to do everything he says. Light brings sight. General Seamus Campbell. Troika. From m_v_3/54.5.8. 2. s_c_3/50.4.13. Subject. Stay the course. I have a feeling the abrogates are a distraction meant to divide our forces. You say forget Miss Lockwood. I say forget the abrogates. More of our people are dead. Conduits we desperately needed. They are not in the rest, but many ends. The source of the shadows must be negated. And from whom do abrogates receive their power? Their king. Remove the king and victory will follow. So, our first order of business is as simple as it is complex. Find a way to fill our trapped conduits with light. We can't take down a king of darkness without light. They are light. And before you argue, know that this instruction comes directly from Aaron. So, how can we get our light into many ends? As for the dog, send him my way. Light brings sight. General Mikhail Vasiliev.
Chapter 25. In the end, you will have what you say. Troika. Killian. As quietly as possible, I crawl to the other rock to retrieve our clothing. I toss Ten her garments and dress in my own as quietly as possible. She does the same. I will protect this girl with my life. Of course, I should have known my Ten would climb from the rock, determined to protect my life. She's as fierce as she is beautiful. Her loved ones always her top concern, and I am one of those loved ones. Me, Killian Flynn. She loves me with all her heart, soul, and body. I'm still amazed, will probably be amazed for the rest of eternity. I'm not sure how it happened, only that it has. Ten told me so, and she never lies. For the second time in my life, I understand the importance of hearing the truth and telling the truth. Had Ten lied to me, even once, about something, anything, large or small, I might doubt her word now, but she never has, never will. Despite the consequences, she always tells me straight. Her word is as good as gold, no, better than. And from this moment onward, mine will be better than gold, too. I want her to experience the same trust in me that I have in her. In trust, there's absolute peace and utter joy. Ten moves to my side, and together we inch forward. I kinda sorta want to murder our intruders in cold blood, interrupt my time with Ten, and suffer. But I'll resist the urge. Barely. I've never stuck around after sex, but this time I wanted to stick around more than I wanted to take my next breath. I wanted to hold my wife, enjoy her, bask in the pleasure we just shared. Pleasure unlike anything I've ever experienced. Watching her come alive under my touch proved to be the great accomplishment of my life. So what that I wasn't wanted as a child, I'm wanted as a man. Ten's man. She is the soothing balm to every hurt I suffered in my past. Muttering voices reach my ears, and I ball my fist, preparing to launch a sneak attack. Then the intruders come into view at last. Ten gasps and rushes forward.
No, 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 what happened? Why... How are you here?
Archer, Dior, Ronan, and Reed swing around to face her. They are cut and bruised, their dirt-stained clothing torn. But Dior no longer appears sickly. I caught a glimpse of her as we fought our way to the kennels, and shadows had filled her eyes and run through her veins. Seeing Ten, Archer sprints to meet her halfway. The two embrace, and shockingly enough, I experience no hint of jealousy. Or maybe it's not so shocking. Ten is mine. Willingly, happily, always and forever. Archer looks up, and our gazes snag. We share a moment of silent communication. I'm still not sure I like you, but I'm glad you're here.
How are you here?
She asks him again. After you died, Archer says. Our grids got nailed by a total blackout. We were severely weakened, which allowed the Myriadians to slay us quickly. Her eyes go wide, and she presses a hand over her mouth.
My fault. I'm so sorry.
Through our new bond, I offer words of comfort, and she casts me a thankful half-smile. Hey, hey now, no apologies. He grins at her, saving himself from a chat with me. No one makes my girl feel guilty about anything without severe consequences. We plan to enter many ends one way or another to help you save souls. This just sped up the process.
So you owe me your eternal thanks?
She asks, her tone now pure sass. He snorts.
Where's Clay?
She rises on her tiptoes to try and peek over Archer's shoulder. Sadness glitters in his eyes. Minutes after we arrived, he was taken by a horde of the ugliest birds in creation. Tears well in her eyes and spill down Ten's cheeks. Tremors rock her. Then she lifts her chin and clears her throat.
Well, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters here. All will be well. Everyone freed. We'll save him along with everyone else. We will.
We will, I agree. Nothing will stop us. Victor is here too, but he was taken by a horrendous-looking monkey spider thing, Archer says. Victor, I demand. Archer's nod is wooden, his teeth clenched. I killed him before I died.
What about Biscuit?
Ten asks, gazing around the garden as tension radiates from her.
Is he here?
No, Archer says, and she expels a relieved breath. He made it out of Myriad.
Thank the First King.
She pulls from Archer's hold to hug Reed, Ronan, and Dior, who she clings to longest.
I'm so sorry,
Dior says.
I know,
Ten replies.
I never meant for him to... I know,
Ten repeats. Hem. They must mean Levi Nan, a Troikan general, now deceased. Both girls loved and respected him, maybe even considered him a father figure, but he died trying to save Dior from Myriad and the horrible covenant I tricked her into accepting. Guilt slithers through me, wraps around my neck like a boa constrictor, and squeezes. Our every action has a consequence, not just for the people involved, but for innocence as well. Perhaps we can save Levi too, just like we're going to save the souls in many ends. The unsigned can leave this sub-realm. Myriadian should be able to leave as well. We'll soon find out, one way or another. Ten thinks so, or we wouldn't be here. Troikan spirits can exit the rest, absolutely, no question. Archer is proof. In a perfect world, everyone escapes and becomes one big happy family. Hey, stranger things have happened. It's time I make amends with the family I already have, and these people are my family. They helped me when no one else would so much as spit on me if I was lit on fire. I'm sorry, Dior, I say. I have no excuse to offer for my past actions. As her dark gaze finds me, shame claws at my mind. Because of me, this girl suffered greatly. She planned to make covenant with Troika and spend her eternity with Archer. Their love had been evident, even back then. When Dior's father had a heart attack, I seized the opportunity to defeat my former friend. I told Dior I would ensure good old Dad walked out of the hospital, but only if she made covenant with Myriad right then and there, and made no adjustments to the contract I offered. She agreed, and I did as promised, using shadows to convince the man he felt better. But the moment, the very second her father walked through those hospital doors, fulfilling my commitment, I took the shadows away. He died in an instant, the stress of his movements too much for his fragile body. By then, it was too late for Dior. She'd already signed the worst covenant imaginable. As a med student, she was supposed to help humans from both realms, and yet, her contract ensured she would face punishment every time she helped Troikin. Horrible of me, yes. At the time, I told myself I was saving Dior from Ambergene's wrath. He'd wanted the girl killed so that he could use her against his unfaithful son. I made sure there was a reason to keep her alive, her continued torment. But I'd lied to myself. Back then, jealousy had seethed inside me, resentment too. Archer had left me behind, scarring me for life, and yet he got to enjoy his future. No. Something in my chest tightens. I do not deserve Dior's forgiveness, but I lift my chin and repeat, I'm sorry for everything I did to you. If it helps, I was banned from Ambergene's presence for ensuring your torment rather than your death, and placed under Madame Pearl Bennett's care.
It doesn't help.
No. I don't suppose it does. My gaze moves to Archer. I'm sorry. I mean the words with every fiber of my being. Dior continues to peer at me, her stare unwavering as tremors rack her.
I want to hold a grudge against you. I really, really do. You used my dream of becoming a doctor against me.
I understand. I tell her. Truth. Some mistakes you can't recover from.
But I need forgiveness, too.
She pulls from Ten to lean into Archer's side.
How can I withhold from you what I seek from others?
Archer doesn't hesitate to wrap an arm around her waist. The two share a look so loaded with tension the air around them heats. The air around us all heats. Awareness crackles.
You're together?
Ten asks, fanning her cheeks. Archer rolls his eyes. We haven't had time to discuss all the details yet, Nosy, but thanks for inserting yourself into our relationship. Ten pretends to tip a hat.
Any time. If he'll have me,
Dior says,
I'll stay with him, always.
Now Archer beams as bright as the sun. Oh, I'll have you all right, again and again and again. A rosy blush paints over her cheeks, and he chuckles. Just like that, a small fraction of my guilt eases. Archer deserves a happily ever after with the girl he loves. Finally, he's on the right track. Reed and Ronan pretend to gag. Enough making me sick. Time for medicine. Reed pulls leaves from the Tree of Life and passes them out to his crew. As everyone eats, gashes weaving back together, bruises fading, I twine my fingers with Ten's. Touching her isn't a compulsion but a necessity. To my delight, she melts against me and rests her head on my shoulder. The sweetness of her scent envelops me, but the best part, her scent is mixed with mine. Satisfaction and contentment shimmer inside of me, new and wonderful. Why did I ever want to resist her? Why did I even try? With her, I've always been doomed to fail. What's our next move? Archer asks. His gaze moves from Ten to Reed, concern darkening his expression. You guys are the only ones who have been here before.
Before Aunt Lena killed me,
Ten says.
She told me to find the doorway and I would save the day. Check.
Killian and I took care of that just a little while ago.
Then she said something about hills having eyes, so everyone will die. And if I wanted to win the fight, I would have to use light.
Reed pales. The hills with eyes.
I've seen that movie,
Ronan says, and shudders.
Spoiler alert, we're all going to die.
I lived here for years, but never dared venture into the hills, for good reason. Reed rubs a fist over his heart, as if the organ is in the midst of a panic attack. The screams you hear, they come from there. If the hills are where spirits are being kept, well, that's where we need to be. Wonderful. We've got to get our hands on weapons.
Weapons, right.
Nibbling on her bottom lip, Ten searches the ground.
Problem, There are no fallen branches here.
No branches, no weapons. And venturing outside this fantastical haven to search for branches would be foolish. Everything outside this area is covered in bugs and poison. No, there aren't. Nothing dies in this little paradise. Reed sighs. And don't try to pull anything down. It doesn't work. Only gets you slapped.
Slapped? As if the tree is sentient.
Sentient equals aware. I scratch my jaw and say, why don't we ask the tree for limbs? The idea wafts through my mind as if whispered into my ear by an invisible friend. The grid? Maybe. But not the grid I'm used to dealing with. Something is different.
Ronan laughs. Aren't you adorable? Ask a tree. Afterward we can talk to the dirt.
Well, why not ask a tree?
Dior spreads her arms wide.
I'm sure we've all had worse conversations with people.
Ten tilts her head to the side, thoughtful as she regards me.
Killian is right. The tree is alive, like all the others here. Hello, it even has a name. The Tree of Life. While the others do their best to harm us, this one willingly feeds us. I mean, we aren't bitten or poisoned when we take the leaves, so why wouldn't the tree give us more, if we ask nicely?
Why don't we have to ask for the leaves, then? Reed asks.
Because food is a necessity and weapons are a luxury?
Ten hikes one shoulder in a shrug.
Because the Tree of Life doesn't want us using the limbs to hurt other spirits?
Facing one of the massive trunks, she brushes her palms over the bark.
Please, we want to help the people here, not hurt, and we could use...
Before she can finish her sentence, a branch lowers, reaching for her. The end curls around her fingers and turns her arm before stroking the warhorse branded into her wrist. Limb after limb tumbles to the ground, and not a single one comes close to hitting us. Reed gasps. All this time. Our group goes silent, shock palpable. Then we begin whooping with happiness. The tree is alive and is aware and is willing to help us.
Thank you. Thank you a thousand times. Thank you.
I say. Other thanks follow.
Thank you muchly.
You're the best.
Owe you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
You rock. Ronan is the first to sober. We're not going to get far with a bunch of clubs, and that's all these branches are good for, considering none of us has a dagger. A limb still attached to the tree swings in his direction and whacks him on the butt. Giggling, Dior flattens a hand over her mouth.
Could it be?
Ten stares at a branch for several prolonged seconds.
I mean, it's possible, even probable, even though it makes no sense.
She doesn't make any sense.
Could what be, lass? Light is always the answer,
she says, ignoring my question. She lifts the biggest branch and sits down.
I have an idea.
With her eyes closed, she draws in a deep breath, wraps a hand around each end. Deep breath out. Tension soon lines her face, a sign of deep concentration.
What is she?
Reed begins and reaches for Ten. I grab his wrist, stopping him. Let her work. His nod is stiff, but he drops his arms to his sides and presses his lips together. Soon pinpricks of light flicker to life at the ends of Ten's fingers, muted at first, but growing in intensity. Light she is somehow channeling. Light equals heat. Heat equals fire. Fire equals change. She rubs her fingers along the end of the branch and... Yes, the heat creates a pointed tip, a spear, or an arrow, if we can create a crossbow. I think that we can. My belt is metal and we can unfasten each link to use as nails. By the time she opens her eyes, she's drenched in sweat and pale. I pick the most succulent leaves for her, and do not relax until she's consumed each one, her color bright once again.
Never thought I'd see Killian Flynn playing nursemaid,
Archer mutters.
I'm practicing for later,
I reply, deadpan, when I'm naked with my lass. Ten elbows me in the sternum and I throw her a grin, all, was it something I said? I rub the sore spot and pretend to pout.
Baby, I was telling the truth, just the way you like.
Her snort delights me.
Where did you get light? Ronan asks.
Love is light, and light is love. You have some, too. You all do.
Her mismatched eyes gleam with anticipation. Anyway, the tree showed me how my staff was created. One of its limbs was used along with light.
Did you know that? About the staff, I mean?
She directs the question at Archer. He shakes his head, sandy hair fallen over his forehead.
I had no idea. After I defected to Troika,
he casts me an unreadable look.
The Prince of Doves gave me the staff and told me to keep it close, because it would one day save my life.
The Prince of Doves has visited many ends. When? Why? How? Did he somehow rescue someone here without ever stepping foot in the subrealm? But if he was here, why not rescue everyone at once?
I met him once. I was on assignment, and he simply appeared before me. He tried to convince me to defect to Troika. I mocked him, sneering at his offer. Truth is, as I'd looked into his sky-blue eyes, I'd never felt more inadequate. Plus, I genuinely believed he would regret his offer. I also suspected he'd made it simply to throw me off my game, which he did. I'd been turned inside out and failed to recruit my target, one of my first failures. Now I've seen the second king of Troika through Ten's eyes. He would never come here and leave spirits behind. That's not who he is. He cares too deeply. So, someone besides Ten, Reed, and Kayla managed to escape many ends and take a branch with him, or her. Ten gasps, her entire body jolting.
Aaron,
she blurts out, and everyone frowns.
Centuries ago, there was a bridge between Troika and Myriad. Aaron used to come here. He and Ambrosine would meet with the first king under the tree's shade.
So I was wrong. Reed purses his lips. How do you know this?
The tree.
She pats the trunk.
Do you not hear him?
No. We all say it once. Her ears twitch as she concentrates.
Reminds me of Aaron. A piece of Aaron, maybe?
I'm not sure if she's talking to us or to herself.
Once the bridge burned,
she says,
Ambrosine placed obstacles around the tree, the creatures, insects, doorways, and built a barrier around them. But he didn't know until too late. He'd created many ends, binding himself to the subrealm. Because he is bound, his people are bound.
Well, I wasn't wrong, not really. Aaron was here, but not while souls were being tortured. What about the unsigned? I ask. Why are they sent here alongside Myriadian to experience second death? Her eyes go wide.
Because there's no such thing as unsigned. When the first king created the land of the harvest, he gave possession of it to both of his sons. But Ambrosine stole the deed. He owns the land of the harvest. If you aren't bound to Troika, you are bound to him. Rather than welcome the unsigned into his midst, he sends them here as punishment.
Dior rubs a hand over her breastbone, as if to ward off a terrible ache.
How can Ambrosine be so cruel to so many?
This I can answer. He feeds on the pain he causes. I've seen it firsthand. As Xi, Victor, and Javier tortured Ten, I watched him close his eyes and soak up her misery as if it was his own personal brand of ambrosia.
Well, it's time to take him down. Destroying this realm and stopping the constant torment should starve and weaken him.
Ten links her fingers with mine and gives a comforting squeeze.
Come on, we've got weapons to construct.
After we gather enough leaves to feed an army, gotta keep up our strength. We sit, forming a circle around our pile of fallen branches. I perch on Ten's right, Archer on her left. Dior sits on his other side, and the two share a brief kiss. I watch as everyone but Dior creates one weapon after another. Spears, bows, and arrows, daggers, or more precisely, shivs. Noticing my lack of effort, Ten frowns and whispers.
What's wrong?
I have no light.
That's not true.
After positioning herself in front of me, she flattens her hands against my temples. Her touch is soft and welcome, and I have to swallow a moan of desire. I want her again. Who am I kidding? I always want her. Close your eyes, she says, and I obey, though it's difficult. I could stare at her forever, but it still wouldn't be long enough.
Look, look deep inside you.
Her voice drifts through my mind, rippling along the grid, a grid I see more clearly as I follow those ripples deeper and deeper. There. I spot a small light, unimpeded by a single shadow. It is a flame that crackles in the heart of our marriage bond. Joy explodes inside me, and the flame grows. My eyelids pop open, and my gaze meets Ten's. She's peering at me, expectant.
Well?
She asks. I offer her a slow, secret smile as I lean toward her, intending to steal a quick kiss. Just before contact, a lance of pain renders me immobile. The light has spread, burning away a thin film that covered a section of my mind. Not a section of memories, but coming events? I tense. The world around me vanishes, and I see myself staked inside a nest. Warm lifeblood drips onto my naked body. It comes from a tier above me. Another nest? My chest is cut open, several of my organs gone, but I'm still lucid as a skeleton bird swoops down and pecks at my liver. A scream bubbles in my throat, but I'm too weak to release it. And why bother screaming again anyway? Help will never come. This will happen again and again and again, as it has already happened again and again and again. Comprehension dawns. With it, alarm. I'm not glimpsing my future. I'm seeing the present through someone else's eyes. But whose and why? Besides my own, I've only ever seen through Ten's eyes because of our bond. So I must be bonded to this other person, but how? More skeleton birds swoop down, devouring the rest of the victim's organs. The pain is incredible. Agonizing. I'm not sure how much more I can. The world goes black.
Killian? Killian, can you hear me?
Ten's voice penetrates the fog in my mind. I blink open my eyes once again and find her posed above me, those azure locks falling around my face to create a curtain. Tears of relief pour down her cheeks.
Thank the first king. I wasn't sure what happened. I had no idea how to help you.
She eases me to a sitting position, and I see the others are gathered around me, and they appear to be equally concerned. Not only do I have Ten, I have friends? Maybe. It's possible. Stranger things have happened. I explain what I saw, and everyone expresses concern.
What if you were seeing through, I'm sorry, the eyes of someone you know and love?
Ten asks softly.
Like Sloane, or your mother.
The thought of either woman suffering nearly sends me into a tailspin. Deep breath in, out. It's possible, I admit, a sense of urgency taking root inside me. We need to save these people. Now. There's a slight vibration at our feet, and Ten frowns.
What was that?
Someone new has arrived in the realm, Reed says. Or multiple someones. When I lived here before, my friends and I would venture outside the Tree of Life to aid any newcomers.
I remember.
She traces a fingertip along one of the spears she made.
You came for me. Have I ever thanked you?
He pats her on the shoulder. You have, but thank me again by agreeing that we shouldn't take the risk yet. We plan to save everyone, right? So there's no need to risk losing one of our group in order to save someone who might turn against us. We need to focus our efforts on getting to the hills. Dior and Ron nod in agreement. Archer thinks for a minute, then nods as well. I bring Ten's hand to my mouth and kiss her knuckles. Such soft, warm skin. I'll do whatever you think is best, lass. Anything but sacrificing her life for others. That I will never do. If eyes are windows to the soul, I can see the wheels turning in her mind.
We stay here, she says, her determination clear. We're saving everyone. Whatever happens out there between now and then, it'll be okay. Everything will be okay.
Reed rubs his hands together. All right, for the best chance of success, we should wait until the realm resets, and before you ask, it resets every 24 hours. He runs his gaze over each of us. That means one of us has to be captured by the birds, on purpose. He or she will take a pocketful of leaves and drop them along the way, all Hansel and Gretel style. The rest of us will have 24 hours to follow the path and reach the final destination. How will we know when the realm resets? Archer worries, two fingers over the stubble on his chin. And what does reset mean, anyway? There will be a flash of absolute darkness, just a blink, but 100% noticeable. As he speaks, he arranges leaves and branches in a circle, recreating the sub-realm. And it means invisible doorways will be moved, the hills will appear somewhere else, everything will appear somewhere else, everything but the Tree of Life. It never moves. A collective shudder sweeps over the group. When will the next reset happen? Ronan asks. Reed stares up at the sky, a veil of dark red water. A few hours, maybe. We'll need to be ready to go at a moment's notice. I expect everyone to point to Dior or me. We're the Myriadians and we'll make the perfect bird food. But I should have known better. Everyone except the Myriadians jumps at the chance. What is it with Troikens and self-sacrifice? I'm pretty sure Dior's reasons for not volunteering are similar to my own. I want to be near Ten, need to protect her, whatever the cost. Dior has just been reunited with Archer, and will want to protect him, the boy she lost, because of me. Not going to feel guilty anymore. Nope, not even a little. I've apologized. We've moved on.
I'll go,
Ten says.
Face it, I'm the best choice.
I scowl at her. No way. Just no way. Sorry, sperm bank, but I'm the best choice, Archer says, his expression pure stubbornness. I've heard him use the nickname before. It used to send me into a rage. Today I can only smile. She's my sperm bank. Ten slaps my shoulder.
I know what you're thinking, Perv.
And I do not regret it, I say, and press a quick kiss to her lips. Sorry, guys, but I'll be the one who's taken, Ronan says. I've survived worse. You guys won't last 10 minutes.
What if we're all taken together?
Dior suggests. No. Reed shakes his head. We could be taken in different directions or given to different creatures. One person, one trail. Trust me on this. As they argue, I sit back and listen in order to better craft a defense against my worst nightmare, Ten's nomination. Good thing. Ultimately, everyone but me agrees that Ten should be the one to go. She has the strongest bond to us all, and she'll have the best chance of communicating with us if things go badly. Though I'm screaming inside, I have no defense. Not that it matters. There's no way I'm letting her go, her organs, and all-you-can-eat buffet for the birds. So, I make up my mind in an instant, and I know what I have to do. I expect half of me to balk, to express reluctance. Something. Instead, I'm eager. I owe Ten. Actually, I owe everyone here. If a life must be risked, it will be mine. I wait as long as I dare. A mere hour and a half. Then I kiss Ten's cheek, stand, and say, I'm going to stretch my legs. The unequivocal truth, if not the whole truth.
What, you're not going to argue with us?
She asks.
No.
I'm not. She appears pleased.
I'll walk with you.
Stay. What if I have to empty my bladder, eh? Again, not a lie. A question isn't a statement. I love you, lass. She owns me, body and soul. Always will.
I love you too. Oh, take this with you, just in case.
She hands me one of the smaller branches with a pointed tip, the perfect makeshift dagger. I accept, grateful, and anchor it behind my back, then hide it under my shirt. Catching a glimpse of my stomach, she wiggles her brows at me, all, I'm going to get me some more of that, just you wait, before she returns her attention to the task at hand. My heart is heavy as I walk away. Stretching my legs is promised. I don't want to leave her, but I will do anything to keep her safe. When I'm out of sight of the others, I pluck leaves from the Tree of Life and stuff as many as possible in my pockets. When I reach the edge of the tree's shade, I see the armies of skeleton birds, gorillas, and monkey spiders waiting. Squawks, roars, and high-pitched
giggles erupt. The birds flap their wings, the gorillas lick their saber teeth, and the monkey spiders jump up and down. My heart races, and tremors speed through me as I wait. Wait for the realm to reset. Then it happens. A blink of absolute, utter darkness. There and gone, as re-predicted. The others will come looking for me, ready to send Ten to slaughter. Chen Hai, I step forward. Take me. One of the birds gets to me first, sinking claws into my shoulders and yanking me into the air. I hiss, and now time is ticking.
Ten!
I bellow.
Come find me!
Chapter 26. In the end, you will have what you take. Myriad. Ten. A few minutes earlier. I love you, lass. Killian's words echo in my head as I continue planning with Archer, Ronan, and Reed and stuffing my pockets with leaves. Something about Killian's tone begins to bother me. Minutes pass as I await his return, tensing more with every second. 9, 14. Every year Valentine's Day is celebrated on February 14th. It's a day for romance and love. I rub the words tattooed on my forearm. A nervous habit, I suppose. Loyalty, passion, liberty. Loyalty to my realm, passion for the truth, and Killian. Liberty for all. The realm resets, which means I gotta go get myself captured. But there's still no sign of Killian until... Ten! He shouts. Come find me! I vault to my feet. Killian? What's going on? A bird squawks, and a growing sense of dread has my gaze jerking up. Horror gut punches me. No, please no. But my eyes do not deceive me. My husband is hanging from a bird's claws. Despite the distance, my gaze locks with Killian's for a split second before he disappears in the dark storm clouds that are rolling this way. A brilliant green leaf flutters from the sky, falling between branches to land on the ground somewhere in the distance. He's leaving the necessary trail. What's wrong? Archer asks, but he reads the answer on my face, or maybe he senses my emotions on the grid. I should have known he'd want to steal all the glory for himself, he tisks. I'd slap him silly, but I know he's trying to lighten the severity of my mood. Trembling now, I strap on as many weapons as I can. Let's go. Sorry, Ten, but we have to wait, Reed says. No way. I shake my head with so much force, I'm surprised when my spine doesn't snap. Earlier you claimed we needed to leave the second the realm reset. Well, it's reset. We're going. I didn't know there would be a storm. In many ends, there's always a risk of a storm, I interject. Killian risked his life for ours. We're going to do the same for him, and if a storm does appear, it could blow away his trail. We won't be able to follow, so we go now. Or I do. If you want to wait, fine, but nothing is going to stop me. Peering at me, one of Ronan's dark brows wings up toward the arch in the center point of his hairline. You give good pointers. And honestly, hanging out with you is never dull, that's for sure. As the others strap on their weapons, I pat my pockets to double-check I have as many leaves as possible. Guaranteed we're going to need sustenance and medicine at every turn. Fear yanks me into a mental boxing ring, ready to go head-to-head. Over the last year, I've overcome so much and faced so many tragedies. Now, everything is about to reach the ultimate climax. Monsters know whenever a spirit has reached the Tree of Life, Reed says. They'll be waiting for us. Feel sorry for them, I say. They took Killian. Now they die. I lead the charge, determination and menace in every step, a thousand thoughts rolling through my mind. In the Everlife, it doesn't matter how much money we made as a human. It doesn't matter if we built an empire, or collected rare items, or convinced everyone of our special awesomeness. Human equals soldier in a war, whether we know it or not. It's what we do as a human that affects who we are as a spirit. Who we loved, how we loved, who we helped. People matter, not things. I made the mistake of coasting through my human life. floating on the waves of indecision, and because of that, I lost that life far too soon. Now, I'm a spirit, and even though I'm in many ends, I have what I thought I'd never have again. Another chance. Another chance to live and love and help, and not necessarily in that order. We reach the edge of shade offered by the Tree of Life, and ready for us, our enemy steps into view. Too many monkey spiders to count, and that's saying something. "Where are the gorillas and birds?" Dior asks, and Archer wraps an arm around her waist.
"Probably followed after Killian. Fresh meat," Reed says. "Even the creatures here are at war. The gorillas steal from the birds steal from the monkeys, and the monkeys steal from the gorillas."
"How do you guys want to handle?" Ronan goes quiet as I swing my spear at one of the creatures. Contact. The wood nails my target in the face, and I gasp with shock. The monkey spider explodes, but not into pieces, into shadows. Those shadows blow away in a wind I do not feel.
"What the? How did... do that again?"
We look at each other for a moment and laugh. Dior throws her arms around Archer. "We can do this." He's so large and she's so small. They share a stolen moment of connection and perhaps even communion, and it's beautiful.
"When we get through this, and we will, we're going to celebrate, hard. Until then, stay behind us," he tells her. "We'll need you if we're injured."
A very nice way of telling her, one, she'll slow us down, and two, she has no battle skill. She flinches only to accept her lot with a nod, tenacity burning in her eyes. There's no changing what is, only what can be. "All right, then. We're as ready as we'll ever be." There's a clock in my mind, and it begins to count down to the next reset, when Killian's sacrifice means nothing.
"Unacceptable. We will reach him, no matter the obstacles before us. I will not lose hope now. We attack on my count," I announce. 3, 2, 1.
In perfect harmony, we rush forward. Nope. Spoke too soon. Dior hangs back, as requested.
Focus. One touch. That's all it takes to utterly destroy a monkey spider. Which means victory should be easy as pie. But the creatures come at us en masse, desperate to rid us of our weapons.
Strike. Spin. Strike. Spin. I never pause. The moment I do, I'll be felled. Then Archer presses his back against mine, and Ronan and Reed take up positions at our sides. Together, we slay one monkey spider after another. By the time the last one explodes into shadows, we're panting and soaked in sweat. Thing is, I know we're not even close to being done.
"Not a second to lose," Reed says. "Let's go!"
We plow ahead and finally find the leaf Killian dropped, the first of many. It's a lovely shade of emerald, the only bit of color amid a sea of gray and black.
"What's that?"
Dior points to a spot ahead. I narrow my focus and frown. A separate sea of black seems to be moving in our direction. It's... realization hits. It's an army of insects, and it is headed our way, intermixed with countless bugs, countless snakes. Cold fingers of dread tickle my spine. I've dealt with my fair share of bugs. While locked inside Prin Asylum, I lived with creepy crawlers, and even ate them when Dr. Vans decided to starve me. Spiders taste like shrimp, and cockroaches taste like greasy chicken. Not exactly helpful information in this situation.
"We should go back to the tree," Reed says, a tremor in his voice. "The bugs won't venture under its shade. We'll wait until they pass."
"Hardly. They might not pass."
"No."
I am resolved.
"If we go back, they could keep us trapped. Killian needs us."
"What do we do then?"
Dior croaks. "I don't know. I don't know how we're going to survive this. I'm used to having answers, but this is a little beyond my wheelhouse. I need a minute to think."
"We don't have a minute," Ronan snaps.
"Shut up, just shut up for a second. How do you fight millions of tiny critters that can crawl all over you? You can't bat them away with a branch, or punch or kick them. You can't stop, drop, and roll. You can't even outrun them because they form a wall in front of you in the direction you need to go."
You guys, listen to Reed and go back to the tree. I'll let the bugs eat every inch of my skin if that's what it takes, but I'm getting to Killian. If I die, I die. I'll resurrect somewhere in the realm, and I'll continue my journey. At least, that is how I think things work in many ends. When you die, you come back to life but remain in the realm. Hence the name, Many Ends. Great risk, great reward. Loyalty, passion, liberty. The warhorse will ride. The bugs speed up, coming closer, closer still. I'm getting a little tired of you telling us to stay safe while you rush headlong into danger, Tenley Lockwood. Archer blows me a kiss. You're not the only one who wants to save Killian. He was my best friend once. He's right. I'm sorry, I only hope to save you pain. Pain is pain. Friendship matters more. We're in this together. He sheaths a branch behind his back and reaches for Dior's hand. If we die as one. One heart, one soul, one body. Together we will rise. A trembling Dior accepts Archer's grip and reaches for Reed, the guy on our other side. Reed reaches for Ronan, and Ronan reaches for me. We form a line, a wall of our own. Strength and love and light flow between our joined hands. Heads high once again, we march forward. So close. We continue marching forward, only a whisper away. The bugs reach us at last. In a split second, we're covered head to toe. Can't see. Sharp stings register all over my body. Dizziness overtakes my mind, and my limbs quickly weaken. And yet somehow, I remain on my feet, marching forward, and... No, surely not. But it's true. The bugs begin to fall off of me, off of everyone. Suddenly I can see. We're covered in red welts, but not bugs. Not any longer. They bit us. And they died? Again we're amazed. How? Why? What? The light, I say. It has to be our light. Death and life cannot coexist. Light equals love. Love equals life. More confident by the second, we continue on, maneuvering through the bugs unimpeded. Our hands drop to our sides and we spread out. Though we remain in shouting distance of each other as we search for the leaves Killian dropped, we find the second and third and adjust our route accordingly. As soon as we pass the last of the bugs and snakes, we pick up the pace, running, running. Tree limbs reach for us, but we dodge and dive, avoiding capture. When we reach a darker part of the forest, however, thorny vines stretch from bushes, and those we can't dodge or dive. The thorns snag our clothing and embed in our skin. As I pull at the vines, thorns prick my fingers and I hiss with pain. Blood wells and my fingers throb. Ten! Reed gasps out. I'm stuck! Ronan calls. I don't. I can't. A scream practically rends the air in two. My head whips to the side and I groan. One of the vines is wrapped around Dior's throat, squeezing. The goal is clear. Take out the weak link to weaken the strongest. Archer fights to escape the vines twined around his wrists and ankles, lifeblood pouring from different wounds. No! He snarls. Stop! I put every ounce of my strength into reaching the girl, no longer fighting my capture but allowing the thorns to rip through me. Lifeblood pours from me as well. Dior's knees give out, and she sags to the ground. Archer is there to catch her and ease her down. Finally I reach her. Her eyes are open and locked on Archer, her lips opening and closing as mules of pain escape. Save your strength, Doc. He yanks at the vines around her neck, but they only squeeze harder, causing her eyes to bulge. I'll get you out of this. I will. I...
love... you.
A final breath escapes her. Her head lulls to the side, those wide eyes dulling, staring at nothing. No. Don't you die. Don't you dare. I love you. We're going to make plans. Frantic, he feels for a pulse. He stiffens, his watery gaze lifting to meet mine, revealing a mix of rage, torment, and sorrow in their copper depths. Archer. No. This can't be. The monkey spider's exploded.
The bugs died. How did the thorns thrive when they touched us?
Even as he speaks, the thorns begin to wither. When Archer realizes what's happened, too late, far too late, he looks up at the sky and roars with pain and rage and sorrow.